The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Nun here. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Victor Gindi, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, for continued Hatzlacha in all his endeavors, continued success, Bidiut, health, happiness, and all good things. Amen. Today's daf is being studied by Nishmat Ram Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanihinu Began Eden, Amen. Fu'a Shilema Yosef Ben Sarah, Hamim Ben Adel, Sarah Bat Rahel, Elna Refana Dahim, Betoch Shar Hole Amo Israel, Amen. Today we begin the fifth perek of Masechet Ketubot, Perek Af Al Pi, starting with the Mishnah on Nun Dalid Amud Bet. Af Al Pi She'amru Betula Gova Matai Vamana Maneh. Even though we learned in the previous Perakim that a Betula collects 200 zoos for a Ketubah, and an Almana, a widow, collects 100, Im Ratza Leosif, if the husband wants to add to that price, that's something what we call Tosefet Ketubah, Afilu Me'amane, even if he wants to add 100 Mane, which means 100 zoos, Yosef, he has the right to add. And in Mishnah, the Gemara will tell us what exactly is the chidush in that the husband is allowed to add to the price of the ketubah. Nitarmela o nitgaresha. If the wife became either a widow, o nitgaresha, or she got divorced, ben mina irusin, ben mina nisuin, whether it's from the marriage or whether it's from the irusin, gova et hakol. According to Tanakama, she gets everything, which means not only can she have the claim on the ketubah per se, but she can also get the tosefet ketubah. Hidush of the Mishnah is that tosefet ketubah, according to Tanakama, is collected already mishat irusin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, mina nisuin gova et hakol, mina irusin betula gova mataim ve'almana maneh. Shelo katav la ila almenat lekonsa. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that min erusin you only get ikar ketubah, which is 200 for betulah and 100 for an almana. The tosefet doesn't kick in until the nisuin, because almenat kin, he wrote it that what almenat, that it's going to be consummated in the marriage. Then he obligates himself to the tosefet ketubah, but until that point he's not obligated to pay. So if they get divorced from the erusin, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, She only gets ikar ketubata, but not the tosefet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im ratza kotev lebetula shetar shel matayim. If the husband wants, he can write her a shtar ketubah for 200 if she's a betula. Vehi kotev, that she can write back a receipt writing, et kabalti mimecha maneh, I received already from you 100. We learned this in a previous Gemara, where basically the wife is allowed to be mohelet, part of her ketubah, even though she didn't receive anything from the husband, but she could write him a fake receipt, so to speak, when the receipt it says, listen, I received to you 100 already. So therefore the husband is only obligated to pay now 100 when the time comes. U'almana maneh. Now let's say he writes his wife who's a Almana ketubah for 100, v'hi kotev, that she can write back, et kabalti mimecha hamishim zuz, I received from you already 50, and then she writes that in a receipt, and therefore what it's really saying is she's being mohelet on the rest of the ketubah. And the Mishnah says, at least according to Tanakama, or Rabbi Yehuda, that is legitimate. That she points out, v'hi kotev, et afal pish shelo nitkabela, even though she didn't receive anything, mohelet vekotevet b'lashon shuvar, she writes it in the style of a receipt, that as if she received. Mishnah concludes, Rabbi Meir Omer, kol apohet lebetula mematayim wal almana memaneh, harezu be'ilat zenut. Rabbi Meir says, no, the betula gets 200 and the almana gets 100, and you cannot diminish from that price, which means he doesn't accept the mehila of the wife, and therefore in such a case since the ketubah now is not 200, his bi'ilot that he's with her is considered bi'ilat zinut, which means the marriage is not considered a marriage. Which means once she's mohel, we look at it as if he never wrote her a ketubah for 200. And once he doesn't write a ketubah for 200 from the inception, so therefore it's not a ketubah. And therefore the bi'ilah is bi'ilat zinut, which is not considered a marriage. Comes the Gemara and begins. Beshita, what do you need the Mishnah to come and tell me that the husband is allowed to add to the price of the ketubah? Which means, why would I think he shouldn't be able to add to the price of the ketubah? Mm-hmm. The ketubah. I need the Mishnah to come and tell me, Imratzal, Yosif, Yosif. So the Mishnah comes along and says, Ma'udetema, Kitsuta Avdu Rabbanan, Shelo Lebayesh et mi she'enlo, Kamash Ma'anam. So I would have thought that maybe the rabbis, they established a kitzbah, meaning ketubah is a certain price, in order not to embarrass somebody that doesn't have. Which means now you're going to start adding tosefet to the ketubah. Not everybody has extra money to add tosefet. So I might have thought maybe the rabbis did a takana not to add to the ketubah in order not to embarrass mishenlo. Kamash ma'alan, that what? It is permissible to be mosif nonetheless. Now the Ran learns from this Gemara that when the husband writes the ketubah itself, he doesn't have to put 200 for the ikar and then add plus, you know, this amount for the tosefet. He says he's able to add the whole price and write, for example, ve'eten lach et mor betula kach ve'kach, because he wants to say if initially you were writing the tosefet separately, so it wouldn't be such a busha, because it would be looked separately. But when you see the big number in the ketubah, I guess in the ikar price of the ketubah, that's where already you would have that would be embarrassment. Which means maybe the Ran is saying that could be there was havamina to think that they were written on different shtarot. That maybe you're right there, 200 on the ikar ketubah, and you have another document that says I'm adding yetosefet. So then there was no busha, because who sees that other document? But if you're saying that it was written all together, lumped into the original ketubah that they wrote, I'm giving you a 5,000 payment, which includes ikar ketubah plus the tosefet. Now you understand the Gemara's have. I mean, I would have thought that leads to busha, because people see, I can't afford this, such a the payment, kamash malam, that still you're able to write it. Altogether, comes the Gemara and continues. Im ratza lehotzif. Okay, so the Mishnah said, if you want to add, you can add. Ratza lechtov la loketani. The Mishnah does not say that if he wants to write in the ketubah. All the Mishnah says is if he wants to add. Ela ratza lehotzif. It just says if he wants to add. Rashi ratza lechtov loketani. Itana lechtov. If it would have said in the Mishnah, if he wants to write. I wouldn't have said that the Tosefet is considered part of the Ketubah. The Gemara for the next daf is going to just prove that Tosefet Ketubah follows the same rules and guidelines as the Ketubah itself. So Rashi just says, if the Mishnah would have said Lichtov, Imnatza Lichtov, so then Rashi says, I would have looked at the Tosefet Ketubah Ela Kematana Midato. I would have said, hey, it's just a gift. Ve'en shem ketubah alav. But it doesn't have the status of ketubah. Ha'ashta detan lehosif. When you use the word lehosif, it's mashma. It's adding on what exists already. Mashma nosaf ala ketubah sheteknu hakamim. Ve'shem ketubah alav. So therefore, the lashon lehosif is mashma. It's an addition to the original ketubah. And therefore, it's following the same dinim that ikar ketubah follows. That's the words that we're learning from the Mishnah Leosif. Messiah, the Gemara says, the Rabbi Ibu, Amar Rabbi Yanai. The Rabbi Ibu, Amar Rabbi Yanai. Tanai kichtubah. That the conditions of the ketubah, Tanai kichtubah, one of the conditions of the ketubah is tosefet. That's considered that he has a right to be mosif. Mizonot also is considered a Tanai kichtubah. Binin Dikhrin, all those different takanot that we learned earlier in the Masechet that are considered tonight ketubah, so they follow the same status as ketubah dame. Nafkamina, what's nafkamina? So the Gemara now gives a host of nafkaminot. Number one, lemocheret, ulmochelet. She sells her ketubah or she's mochel the ketubah. Rashi, mocheret ketubata or mochelet ketubata, mahla umachra etakol. which means the sale is, everything is included. Which is, a lady sells the ketubah, we say whatever is called ketubah is sold. Since she said, I'm selling the ketubah. And therefore, the hadush of the Gemara is that tosefet is also considered ketubah. You shouldn't think that when she sells the ketubah, she's only selling the ikar, the 200 or the 100 penny. No. Ketubah is everything, and therefore, nafkamah, if she's muhayla, say she's a muhayla ketubah, she can't come along now and say, well, I want the tosefet. No. You are muhayla ketubah. Muhayla ketubah means everything. And tonight, ketubah is considered ketubah. Another nafkamina, lemoredet. Moredet, as she says, the number perkina, moredet al ba'ala. You have a wife that she's rebellious. Let's say she doesn't have tashmish with the husband. So therefore she's considered a moredet. So pohatin la miktubata. So as long as she stays a moredet, there's a certain formula that you keep on diminishing from her ketubah. As long as she remains rebellious, keep on taking away, you chip away from her ketubah. Ad matayu pohet. Well, how much? Until she owes you money? How far do you go? Ad keneged ketubata. So until the value of the ketubah. So that she says, "Lo tema keneged maneu matayim lehodayu." Don't think you only chisel away from the maneu matayim. Ela afa tosefet pohatim veolchim, including the tosefet. Right? Again, the point is that the tosefet is considered like a ketubah itself, and therefore, let's say it's 1,000 now. Right? So therefore, as she remains the moreh, they keep on knocking down, being pohet from the 1,000, not from the 200. Next case. Ulpogemet. What's the case of pogemet? Well, she says, "Perek hakotev tenan, hapogemet ketubata, lo tipara ela bishpua." Which means, let's say she is claiming, the husband claims that, let's say, he paid the ketubah, and she's claiming that she received part of the ketubah. And she didn't receive all of the ketubah, she received part of it. So the deen is over here, she has to make a shivua. She has to make a swear that she received only part of it. The husband says, "I paid you all of it." And she says, "Ela b'shua im pagma tosefet nameh," which is, if let's say there's a claim on the tosefet as well. She amra l'shem pira'ona tosefet kabalti dinar. She says, "I got a dinar towards my tosefet." Avzu pokem ketubatai v'im to'en v'ada et kabla kol ketubatech lo tipara ela b'shua. Just like she has to make a shivua on the ikar ketubah, she has to make a shivua on the tosefet ketubah. I mean, if the husband said, "I paid you the whole tosefet," she comes and I only got a dinar from the tosefet, she must make a shivua that she only got that amount. Let's explain in English the literal word of pogemet.
Pogemet is a woman who impairs her ketubah.
Impairs her ketubah. Okay, so impairing means that she's saying that she only got paid part of it.
That's right.
Okay. Ultobat. What's tobaat? So that she says, "Shamru hakamim at tobaat ketubah bebetin en la mizonot." We learned in a previous perek that once the lady is tobaat, she claims her ketubah in betin, she loses the mizonot from the estate. Tobaat tosefet nameh en la mizonot. So once she claims even the tosefet ketubah, she also loses the mizonot. So it's similar in that sense as well. Ul overet al dat. Okay, there's certain ladies that are going against the dat, going against the halachot, where the husband has a right to divorce her. Overet al dat, she's going against the rules, the laws. Says she, she'amru alei tetzei shelo b'ketubah. So it says the husband can divorce her, does not have to give her a ketubah. Lo tema ketubat manei matayim, aval tosefet matana be'alma o lo efsida, ela kama shvanat, she also loses the tosefet as well. When the Mishnah says later on that overet al dat is yotzet below ketubah, it's also including the tosefet as well that she also loses. The next din, leshevah. Now, the law of shevah is appreciation. Now, what's the law of appreciation? So that she says, she'amru bebechorot, en abechor notel pi shenayim b'shevah sheshavchua nechasim nahar mitat abiyem. We have a law that the firstborn, he receives a double portion, right? From the estate of his father, firstborn. So the law is, he doesn't receive a double estate on the appreciation of the estate after the father died. Which means if, let's say, the value went up, he doesn't get it. Once the father dies, that's it. The price is the price. If it went up subsequently, that the bechor doesn't get the double of the appreciation. Ve'lo ha'isha b'chtubata. Nor, for example, let's say the husband set aside a field for the ketubah of a certain value over here, and now it appreciated, so she doesn't get that appreciation of the field after the husband dies. So the shevach also, let's say he established the tosefet on a certain property, and then let's say it appreciated, she doesn't get that appreciation if it appreciated after the husband died, just like the ketubah itself. Lishbu'ah. Okay, it's equal to the law of Shivua, which means whenever you have to swear in a case of a ketubah, the same law would apply that you have to swear for the Tosefet ketubah as well. What's the case? So she gives us a few of them. The Shivua, lechol mili deshaicha lishaba ala ketubah. In all cases where the Hakamim mandated you have to swear, kegon hanifra'at shelo befanav. Right, let's say she got paid the ketubah shelo befanav, not in front of him. So in that case, she has to swear that she didn't get the ketubah, because he's not there to defend. She's coming along now, not in front of the husband, and she wants to get paid the ketubah. So they make her swear that he didn't get paid yet. Now the husband's not there, so therefore she has to make a shivua. Furthermore, if she wants to get the tosefet, she'll also have to make a shivua before she takes the money. Or you have a case where, let's say, one witness comes along and says the ketubah was paid. So she has to come along now, and if she wants to get paid, she has to make a shivua as well. For Huadin, if she did, one witness comes along and says that she got paid the tosefet. Furthermore, if let's say she wants to get paid from nechasim mishu'badim, from liens, but she wants to take a ketubah from properties that were sold already, so she has to make a shivua as well before she takes. When she wants to take it from the assets of the yitumim, like we'll learn later on, all these cases over here, she needs a shivua. So the tosefet also needs a shivua. Now Rashi over here has a question, and Rashi says that we learned already earlier a similar case. That's the case of pogemet, where the lady, just like she has to swear, if she comes along and the husband says, "I paid you the ketubah," she comes along and says, "I only got part of it," so therefore she has to make a shivua. Hu adin legabe di tosefet. So therefore, pogemet is really included in this nafkamina, because she also has to swear on the ketubah. So the Rashi's question is, why did they put pogemet in a separate category? Pogemet is really a case where she has to make a shivua, so it should have been included in the shivua category. You didn't need to separate pogemet from the case of shivua. So she answers that I would have thought that maybe if she's only pogemet ikar ketubah, that's when already we make a swear on the tosefet. But if she was claiming, let's say, only on the tosefet, I might not have thought that she has to swear on ikar ketubah. So therefore the Gemara comes along and has to put pogemet separately to come and tell me that even if she's pogemet nafka on the tosefet, which means she's coming along and saying, "I didn't get the full amount of the tosefet," she has to swear not only in the tosefet. We make a swear legabeh her payment of the ikar as well. Next up coming out is with the shvi'it. What's the case of shvi'it? Well, shvi'it is the shemitah. We know that at the end of shemitah, all loans are canceled. That's the law of shemitah kesafim. The law is that when it comes to a ketubah, let's say the ketubah was due at the end of Shemitah, it is not meshamit, which means the husband must pay the ketubah. So just like he must pay the ketubah, he also must pay the tosefet ketubah as well. Shemitah does not affect cancel out, let's say, the debt of the ketubah. V'lechotev ko nechasav lebanav legabot min hakarka. Which means, let's say a person writes all his nechasim, all his v'lekotev kol nechasav lebanav, where he writes all his nechasim to his children, period. Now what's that? This is already the 10th similarity. So that she says, v'chatav le'ishto karka kolshu. Let's say before he dies, listen, I'm designating you, you're getting this karka over here for the ketubah. She accepts it. So then already, avda ketubata. She loses the ketubah. Once she accepts that karka for a ketubah payment, even if it's less than the normal ketubah, she has to take it from there. So that she says, who adina tosefet ketubah? The husband comes along and says, I'm giving all my assets to my children, and you're going to get your tosefet from this field over here. And she accepts it, so therefore she has no choice. Furthermore, the gbot min karka, just like ketubah payment, where is it paid from? The ketubah payment is paid from real estate. So too, the tosefet is paid from real estate. Umin ziburit, it's paid from the inferior property. which means not only is it paid from property, but it's paid from the grade C property, so to the Tosefet as well. V'chol zeman shehi bebet aviha. Which means we have a law like this, that so long as she does not leave her husband's house, so long as she's living in the husband's house, she can claim her ketubah forever. Which means 100 years later, she can still come along and claim her ketubah. However, the law is once she goes back to her father's house, she only has 25 years to claim ketubah. Once 25 years pass, it's like the statute of limitations. Then already she cannot claim the ketubah anymore. So it's similar to the Adin Legabet Osef. Let's read Rashi. Kol zeman shi bebet aviyatran v'anoseh, kol zeman shi bebet ba'ala. So long as she's still living, she's a widow, but she's living by her husband's house. B'meshech amenuta, kova ketubata le'olam. Kol zeman shi bebet aviyah, but unless she moved to her father's house, shelo ayu ovdim ota, Yitumim, let's say the Yitumim were not serving her, they weren't giving her mezonot. She went back to the father's house, so she's supporting herself. Right. She only gets 25 years to claim. If she keeps quiet 25 years in one day, she loses the ketubah. V'chein, the same law applies to Tosefet. The Gemara continues and gives us the last nafkamina, the 14th. That just like the boys inherit their mother's ketubah in the event that the wife died. So the wife dies, who inherits the husband? Then the husband dies, so that Yerusha is divided equally to all the children. However, the children of the wife, they receive, besides their portion, they receive their mother's ketubah payment. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, they also receive the Tosefet ketubah. So the Benin Dechrin law, ketubah and Tosefet ketubah is equal as well. And now the Gemara comes along and brings four different mahlokot, legabe different cases that the rabbis of Babel argued. First case, Itmar, we learned ketubat benin dechrin. Regarding the ketubah of benin dechrin, right? That's the ketubah that the boys inherit from their mother when the father dies. Pumpedita amri, rabbis of pumpedita say lo tarfa mishabedeh. They do not take the payment from mishabedeh, which means if, let's say, the father sold property, they cannot go to the seller of the property and take it from them. They can only take it from assets that are available. They don't go to mishabedeh. There's no liens. Why? So the Gemara says yartum tenan. Because the language that it says in the Mishnah by Benin Dechrin, it says they inherit. And just like an inheritance is only from property that's available, you don't inherit to go now take properties that were sold. So to Benin Dechrin, it's not taken from Mishabedeh. Right, the language was Inun Yartun. Kesef ketubatech v'yirusha lo tarfa lekuchot. Yirusha is not taken from the lekuchot. However, b'nei matam machsaya amre. The rabbis of b'nei matam machsaya say tarfa mimishabedeh. Indeed, they take from even properties that were sold, because their text was yisbun tenan. What is yisbun? Yisbun means they will take. So Lashon Yizmun, they will take as Masra, they will take not only what's available, they can go take even properties that were sold, meaning there's a lien on those properties, and the Benin Dechrin can be taken even from those properties. Vilcheta, what's the bottom line regarding this question? Lo tarfa mimishabedeh. They cannot take from properties that were sold, because indeed, Yartun Tenan. The proper text is Yerusha, and it follows the same guidelines as a Yerusha. Next question that was in the next query. Metaltele, let's say you have metaltele, which means you have movables. V'itnu be'inayu, which means, let's say the husband, before he died, he designated certain movables for the ketubah of his wife. And they're still around, these movables over here. So everybody agrees, below shivua. Everybody agrees that she can take her ketubah from the movables, and she does not have to make a shivu'ah. Which means, normally, when a lady comes to get paid from the yetumim, the halakha says she has to make a shivu'ah before she gets paid. Why? Because we're concerned that maybe she's getting paid twice. Maybe the husband already designated for her metaltelin. Now she's come to the yetumim to get paid. So he says, hey, listen, lady, you want to get paid from the yetumim? Swear that you didn't get paid before. However, now in this case over here, she doesn't have to worry. Why? Because we see the metaltelin here. There's no other metaltelin, which means when the goods that the husband designated are still around, she can get paid from the metaltelin according to everybody, and does not have to make a shivua. So let's read again. Metaltele ve'itnihu bi'ainayu, when they're still around, they're there. Belo shivua. The question is like this. Litnihu bi'ainayu, which means, let's say the husband designated metaltelin, but they're lost. You can't find them. Pumpedita amre, the rabbi's pumpedita said, belo shivua. You shouldn't have to swear. Why? Because you can assume like this. We know that he designated metaltelin, and we know he got lost. So you don't have to assume that maybe he set up an insurance of other metaltelin in case these got lost, and therefore she took the other metaltelin, now she's coming to get paid twice. You don't have to assume that. If you know already that he designated metaltelin, and metaltelin got lost, you could assume that these were the only ones that were designated, and she didn't get her ketubah. Therefore, when she comes to get from the yetuim, she does not have to swear that she did not get paid yet. They say, no, you got to swear. You know why you have to swear? Because you're right, these metaltelin got lost. But you have to suspect that maybe the husband put aside other metaltelin in case, and she took her ketubah from those metaltelin. So then when she's coming to the yetumim, she has to make a shivu'ah. And comes the Gemara and says, v'ilcheta, what's the halakha? Belo shivu'ah. Again, does not have to make a swear if the metaltelin got lost. Now we go to the third case. Yihed la ar'ah. Let's say the husband designated for his wife for the ketubah real estate. He delineated the four borders, the four mitzarim, the four borders of the field. He delineated them. Okay? So there the deen is below shivua. So everybody agrees that when she goes to get paid from the yetomim, she does not have to make a shivua, because once already he designated the field so clearly where the borders are, you don't have to assume that he also designated metaltelin, and that she took it from the metaltelin that she's trying to get double paid. When he clearly marked the field and says you take it from this point to that point on all four sides, you can assume that that is indeed the ketubah, that therefore you don't have to assume that she took metaltelin. Now, behad mitzra, but let's say the husband, when he designated his wife a field, he only put the marker for one side. He didn't designate the whole field. He only gave the delineation on one side. So now we have machlokes. Pumpedita amre belo shivua, which means again, once already designated field, even on one side, we could assume that he did not also give her metaltelin. Therefore, she's not getting double paid. Therefore, she's not to make a shivua when she takes from the yetuim. B'nei machsia amre bishvua, because since he did not delineate exactly all four sides of the field, which means he really didn't delineate an exact spot where she could take her ketubah from, so you have to suspect that maybe put aside metaltelin for the ketubah, maybe she took the metaltelin, now she's coming to the yetomim to get double paid. So therefore the deen is she has to make a shivua if she wants to get paid. Vilcheta belo shivua. Gemara says in this case we do not make her make a swear even if he only delineated a field with one marker. Comes the fourth case where we have the machloket. Amar le'edim. Okay, guy tells the witnesses kitvu vehitmu vehavule. Good. A guy tells a witnesses write a shtar. For example, say shtar matana. I want you to write a shtar that I want to give a gift to so and so. Vehitmu, and sign it. Vehavule, and give it to so and so. Kanumine, if let's say the edim made a kinyan, which how to make a kinyan? They made was because example kinyan sudar. which means they went to the buyer and the seller, they shook hands, they took a handkerchief, and the handkerchief is like the kinyan that transfers the field already from the buyer to the seller. So therefore, that they made a kinyan sudar. So everybody agrees, lo tzarich im lucheb. They don't have to ask them when they're ready to write the shtar, do you still want us to write the shtar? They don't have to go take consultation. Again, the guy told them write the shtar. Okay, now they made a kinyan. Now they're about to write the shtar. They don't have to go back to the guy and say, listen, by the way, you still want to go through with this? Right. Nothing to talk about. They made a kinyan already. Once you made a kinyan, it's over. So you don't have to go now in Luche and ask them if they're still interested. However, lo kanu mine, which means he told them make up a shtar, right? But he didn't make a kinyan, and he did not make a kinyan. So now we have a machloket. Popedita amru. You don't have to ask him again. Which means you don't assume that he changed his mind. Once he told you to write the shtar, you can assume that he still wants you to write the shtar. Which means since he still could retract, because the kinyan was not made, so therefore when you're about to give over the shtar and make the kinyan, you have to ask him to make sure he still wants to follow through. So that's the fourth mahlok and hilket. You have to ask him before they write the shtar. Since the kinyan was not made, if he backs out, he has a right to back out. Still, I mean, nothing was content. Just because he said write the shtar doesn't mean anything. And he didn't make a kinyan yet. So therefore, the witnesses, before they write the shtar, they have to go back to him. Listen, you make sure we're going to write it now. You're still interested? He says yes, then of course they are. But if he says no, then no is no. But you have to go back to clarify. Comes the Gemara and continues from a quote of our Mishnah, Rabbi Azar bin Azariah. So we had a mahlok between Tanakama and Rabbi Azar bin Azariah. What was that? That was the gabe when a person, let's say, gets divorced min a nisuin. So we said what? Gove et akol. Which means, at that point, when it's from the nisuin, he gets paid. He has to pay out everything, which means ben. Ben Ketubah, Ben Tosefet Ketubah. However, Irusin, it's only 200 and 100, which means it's the Ikar Ketubah. Okay, that was the opinion of the ones that argued. No, that was the Bi'azam ben Azariah. Men Nisuin Guvet Takol, he argued on Tanakama. Tanakama said, even in Irusin, you get paid everything. Okay, so that's the machlokas. Let's review the machlokas. Tanakama says what? Mina erusin ben tosefet ben ikar ketubah. Rabbi Azam says no. Mina erusin davka ketubah. Mina nisuin, you're only taking ketubah. Nisuin, then you take everything. Right. Ketubah and tosefet ketubah. So now comes the Gemara and says the following. Itmar Rav Rabbi Natan. We have a machloket amongst the Amoraim. Who's the machloket between Rav and the binatan had amara lakak rabbi azam bin azariah? One rabbi says what? You go like rabbi azam bin azariah, what? Dafka min nisuin govet akol. Had amar en lakak rabbi azam bin azariah, meaning but from the irusin govet akol. So now the Gemara is going to try to figure out who said what. You just have over here two rabbis. You don't know who said what and who holds like what. So the Gemara will say, Tistayim de rabbi natan hu de amara lakak rabbi azam bin azariah. We could assume that indeed it is Rabbi Natan that held alakaz like Rabbi Azar bin Azariah, this Shama'ina and the Rabbi Natan, because we found in another place that the Rabbi Natan subscribes to the opinion of what? The Azil Batar Umdina. That he goes after what's called in Umdina. Now what is Umdina? Umdina means that Rabbi Natan uses the concept where you could estimate what the person is thinking. And therefore in this Mishnah, that's what really Rabbi Azar is using. He's using what's called an umdina. What's the umdina? A husband is not giving over the Tosefet Ketubah until he's married. He's not giving Tosefet just for the engagement. He's giving al da'at that it's consummated. So therefore we can assume that Rabbi Natan holds that logic where you assume what the guy's thinking. Because we see in another hadaka that Rabbi Natan uses this concept of what the person is thinking. Where do you see that? Damar binatam. We see by the binatam, what does he say? Halakha kerabi Shimon shezure bamsukan. Halakha follows Rabbi Shimon shezure by a case of a misukan. Misukan is somebody that is deathly ill. Guy's a chole, he's about to die. He comes along now and tells his witnesses, do me a favor, write a get for my wife. but he doesn't say give it. He forgot to say give it. So now you say, wait, maybe he just said write it to have it in the wings. But you know, do you give it or not? So the Bina Tan says you assume that he just was so overwhelmed by his imminent death that he forgot to say give the get. So therefore, they give the get to the wife. Now, what can you assume? Because we're talking about a case where the guy doesn't have children. And therefore, he doesn't want his wife to fall to Yibum. So therefore, even though he didn't say Tenu, you say that that's what he meant. You can assume it. The Gemara gives a different example that Tanakama holds. Tanakama holds that a case, let's say a guy goes on a business trip. So before he goes on a business trip, he tells the witnesses, go write again, give it to my... No, he didn't say give it to my wife. But we could assume that since he's going on a business trip, he doesn't want to leave his wife in Aguna, just in case he's not going to come back. He's going to Medinat Hayam. So therefore, even though he doesn't say Tenu, you can assume that he's saying Tenu. And Ibn Atta goes a step further, that even a Chole, that he didn't say Tenu, Umdana, so therefore Rabbi Natan is the one that subscribes to the Shita of Umdana. Therefore he must hold like Rabbi Azar, Ben Azariah, that all sorts of umdina that what that a husband is not being mishabed his tosefet until the actual nisuin. Now, ubitrumat maaser shel demai. Okay. Also, we follow the Bishim on Shizuri. There's the Binatan talking. Not only about the Misukan case, not only by the danger case where the guy's on his deathbed with the get, but on a totally different subject, the Binatan says we follow the Bishim on Shizuri the Gabe Tirumat Ma'asir Shil Demai. Okay, what is that case of Tirumat Ma'asir Shil Demai? So let's analyze it. Let's review. What is Demai? Demai is a guy buys fruit from a ma'aris. Okay, now even though we say Rov Ame'aris Ma'asirinim, the majority of Ame'aris Ma'asirinim, but there's a mi'ut that do not take Ma'asir. Therefore the Halakha says, rabbis say, if you buy food from a Ame'aris, you have to take Ma'asir. Now what type of Ma'asir do you take? Well, you have to take two Ma'asir. You have to take Ma'asir. Ma'asir goes to the Levi. Now that Ma'asir that goes to the Levi, the Hakamim allow you to eat it. Because really Ma'asir Levi, we learned early in the Masechet, even if Yisrael eats Ma'asir Levi, it's okay. Yeah. Now why don't you have to give it to the Levi? Because I can come to the Levi, I'm the Yisrael, I can come to the Levi and say, who said he didn't give Ma'asir yet? So therefore, I'm able to eat it myself. Because if it's not Ma'asir, for sure I can eat it myself. And if it is Ma'asir, I can also eat it. And therefore, the Levi, the onus of proof is on him that this fruit over here is not Me'usar yet. So then, okay, so I take my Ma'asir. Now I also have to take what's called Terumat Ma'asir. That's Ma'asir min Ma'asir. I have to take 10% of that, and that belongs to the Kohen. Now that I can't eat. That I cannot hold. That the only option is to give it to the Kohen, okay? That is Kedusha of only the Kehuna. Oh, so now what happened? Let's say my Terumat Ma'asir, in this case, it got mixed up with Chunin. Oh, now I'm stuck. Because now it's called Meduma. When this gets mixed up with Chunin, now the whole mixture becomes Asur. So what am I going to have to do? I can't eat it, because there's Terumat Ma'asir in there. It can only go to a Kohen. So you say, sell it to a Kohen. The problem is, I sell it cheap. Because since only a Kohen can eat it, who's Tahor, so therefore there's not too many customers. So therefore he buys cheap. So therefore it's going to cause me a Hefsed. So Rabbi Shimon Shizuri says, in such a case where the Terumat Ma'asir that you bought from an Amma artist and you took Ma'asir and that Terumat Ma'asir got mixed up in Hunin, then you could assume that what? That the Amma's did take Ma'asir, and therefore you don't have to sell it to the Kohen for a loss, and we let the fellow eat it himself. He's being lenient when that you could assume that the Amma'aris did take the Ma'asir, the Gabe what? Where the Terumat Ma'asir got mixed up. Let's read the top of that sheet to see this all inside now. ובתרומת מעשר של דמי משניים במסכת דמי, תרומת מעשר של דמי שחזרה למקומה. It went back to its place, meaning it got mixed up with חונין. ואסרה את החונין משום מדומר, משמעון שזוני אומר, אף בחול, which means even on the weekday, we'll see why he says even on the weekday, that she's going to tell us, because the case before was talking specifically only on Shabbat, the case before in Masechet Demai. So therefore in this case over here, it mentions even on the weekday. What do you do? שואלו לאמרס, you go ask the אמרס, שלקח ממנה פירות הללו, you can ask him, hey Mr. Amaris that I bought the fruit from, did you take מעשר? And whatever he says, you believe him. Ve'ochlan al piv. Im amar efrashti ma'aserotav kera'ui ad shalom mechartim nechaf. He says, I gave my ma'asot correctly before I sold it to you. Somech alav. Why? De'u'il medrabbananu. The whole thing is medrabbanan. It's a chumrah. Himinu rabbanan bimkom peseda. The rabbis believe the amar is in a place where it's going to be a financial loss. Now, why is it going to be a financial loss? Ki acha, she'enu tekanan la'azuru lafrish ela lemukhar lekohanim. The only option you can do is sell it to the kohanim bidmeh terumah. But you have to sell it for the value of Teruma Vehifsedulo. So therefore, the second Hadush, which is really not germane to our Gemara, we're just quoting Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan, he hails like Rabbi Shimon ben Shizuri in two cases. Number one, in the case of Umdina, you could assume when a guy's on his death, but he said, you know, write the get, even though he didn't say give it, you could assume that he meant give it. And he also holds in the case of demai terumat maaseh, that got mixed up in a mixture, and then you're going to suffer a hefsed. So you can go back to the Amaris, ask him, did he take maaseh or not? And if he does, he did. Go ahead and eat it, and we're not going to make you sell it for a loss. So therefore, the binatar is the one that holds with the umdina. So now it's mashma that Rav doesn't hold of Umdina, because the Mahalak was between Rabbi Natan and Rav. So therefore you're putting Rabbi Natan like Rabbi Azam and Azariah, that says that the guy's logic is he doesn't want to give over the Tosefin until he gets married, which is we analyze the guy's brain. So it's mashma Rav doesn't hold like that, because Rav is going against Rabbi Natan. So the Gemara says, V'Rav no azir matar Umdina. But Rav doesn't go with this Umdina, that we don't calculate what the guy is thinking. Okay, we have a case like this. You have a matenat shechiv mera. What is that? You have a shtar matana that was written by a guy that's about to die. Shekatuv ba kinyan. That's also written in the shtar that he made a kinyan, for example, kinyan sudar, to give over this property. Now, let's discuss these two items. When a person is dying, his words, the words of a shechiv mera, have the validity and the weight of a shtar as if it's written and signed and sealed. That's what the rabbis gave a credence to the shechiv mera's words. Now, let's say you have a shechiv mera that said the following: I want this property to go to so and so for matana. Now, that would be enough. Already we're bound by the shechiv mera's words. If it's written document, you got to give over the shtar. You got to give over the property. But now even better. What happened is, he comes along and says, not only that, but I made a kinyan sudar and I transferred the assets that I'm talking about to so-and-so. So he has two things he's dealing with. He's using his shechiv mera power, and he's also saying that he did it with a kinyan. So now we have to analyze what's taking place. What does he mean by this double kinyan, so to speak? So the Gemara says, "Beber Rav, b'shemet Rav." I mean, in the Beit Midrash of Rav, in the name of Rav, they said, "Arkebe atere rikshe," which means the shechiv mera is riding on two horses, which means he said it in order to reinsure that the sale is a sale. Meaning, he means both. Which is, he wants to use his shechiv mera powers, and he also wants to say that he insured it also with a kinyan, which means the sale is a sale. He's just saying both in order to, you know, to strengthen the transaction, that whatever field he's talking about will be transferred to that person. Good. So he's using his matanat shechiv mera, which is verbal, and he's using his matanat bari, which is through the kinyan that he made, that he's claiming that he made with the kinyan, so that to transfer the property. So he's riding on two horses, which means for extra strength. Shemuel looks at it much differently. Shemuel amar lo yada'na mai edunba. He says, I don't know how to analyze it. Do I say it's a shechiv mera gift, or it's a gift like a healthy person that made a kinyan? And there's different nafkaminot. If you look at this item as a shechiv mera item or a matana item, there's nafkaminot. So the Gemara says, Bebe Rav Mesheme de Rav Amre. In Rav's Bet Midrash, they said, Arkebe Atre Rikshe. The guy wants to ride on two horses, which is he wants the strength of both kinyanim. Meaning, harehi kematenat bari, varehi kematenat shechiv mera. He wants both kinyanim to exist. Now, what's the nafkamina? The Gemara says, harehi kematenat bari, de'im amad eno yachol lachzor bo. Let's review some halachot over here. Let's say a guy is a shechiv mera, who says, I want this field to go to so-and-so. So we say, what? It's like signed, sealed, done. Now the guy makes a massive recovery. Now he's healthy again. He's able to come along and say, what? He's able to come along and say, nullify. I only wanted that. I only invoke my shechiv mera rights if he's going to die. But if he makes it, he's allowed to retract. But if it's a regular kinyan sudar, there's no retraction. So therefore, we're nafka min akot tadav, that's saying he's using two kinyanim. Number one, he's using the kinyan of matanat bari. Nafka minah, that what? If he makes it, since he's using the kinyan sudar item, so therefore it's... There's no refunds. Secondly, v'arei ke matanat shchimera she'im amar. Halva'ati lifloni, halva'ato lifloni. Which means like this. What's the law of a shchimera? Shchimera not only can transfer assets from one place to another and saying, I want to give this matana to so, but he's even able to transfer his debt. He's able to say the debt that such and such a guy owes me, I want it to go to that guy. Now, in such a item, you cannot do that with a kinyan sudar. That's not done with a kinyan sudar. But you could do it with the matanat shchimera. So therefore, the hidush of the shchimera item is so he's able to invoke even by a halva'ah. So the case of Tomo, the guy did it a halva'ah. If it was just a kinyan sudar, a halva'ah would not be transferred with a kinyan sudar. So therefore, the shchimera is, and he even wants to, he's talking about a case where he wants to transfer a halva'ah. When the guy can come along and say before he dies, I want my money to go from, instead of paying me back, pay that guy back. So that's how Rav understands it. He used both kinyanim to, whatever the ramifications are. Kinyan sudar, there's no retraction. Even if he stays alive, that's it, it's done. And the shchimera is that he's able to do it even by a halva'ah, that will be able to do such a kinyan. Let's read the Rashi now. Rashi comes along and says like this, matanat shchimera. I will conclude with this Rashi. Matanat shchimera ena siricha kinyan. There's no kinyan on the matanat shchimera. His words enough are the kinyan. Shetiknu hakamim. Shedevarav kechtuvim vechimsurim. His words as if it's written and sealed. Shelo titref da'ato alav. We don't want the guy to go crazy. Ve'im katuv ba'kinyan. Now, which means, if you're not going to trust the guy, the guy wants the property to go over. Now, no, sorry, you got to write a kinyan. How's he going to write a kinyan? He's on his deathbed. Yeah. However, ve'im katuv ba'kinyan. But let's say he says, not only did I give it over verbally, but I also wrote a kinyan on this transaction. Amar Rav. So what did Rav say? Arkebe atre rakshe. He's riding two horses. He wants two strengths. Like a similar example that she says. V'chol lashon shchiv mera natan ba koach shchiv mera. V'al yedek kinyan shikatuba she'en roeg ela bebari natan ba koach bari. He took the power of shchiv mera to his advantage or to his necessity, and he took the power of the kinyan as well. V'ashta mefadeshtu. As she says, koach matanat bari nafkamina shim'amad mechol yofi got better. Enu chozeh mematanato. He can't retract. But she'ekim b'shchiv mera. Shchimera can retract. Barei kematanat shchiv mera she'em matanat bari afilu bekinyan she'im katab matanat zu halva'ati shelveti lifloni netuna lifloni ze halva'ato lifloni, which means a person cannot come along with a kinyan and say, I want to transfer my debt. The guy that owes me the money, give it to somebody else. Ve'ilu gabe bari mishum kinyan lo kani. By a bari, you cannot. By a shchiv mera, you can. She'en matbeya niknet b'halipin. Because coins are not acquired. A debt is not acquired with a handkerchief. You need a... with karka. So therefore, veze kana imet lo mahmat kinyan ela mahmat devrei shchimera. So therefore, according to Rav, at least, we understand what the guy's doing. He's invoking the koach of the shchimera, that he can even work by halva'ot to transfer the debt, and he's invoking also the deen of matanat bari, which is what? Which does not allow him to retract in the event that he is going to make it alive. The Gemara continues. Ushmoel Amar lo yada'na mai edun ba. Shmoel says, I don't know how to judge him. I don't know what to suspect in this case over here, where the guy has the shtar, where he's using his power of shchimera, but he's also using the power of the kinyan. Sheme lo gamar lehaknoto. Maybe the guy's intention is not, maybe only to acquire the field to his to somebody else. Ela bishtar. He wants to use the shtar. Ve'en shtar lehanmita. And we don't have a shtar. A shtar doesn't work after death. Now let's read Rashi to see how he explains it. Sheme lo gamar belibo lehaknoto ela bishtar. Sheme lehaki katab ba kinyan. Maybe the reason why he added a kinyan to the shtar. De lo gamar lehaknoto matanazu al yedet devre shchiv merah. Shem kichtovim usurim dame. Which means he doesn't want to rely only on the shtar of the shchiv merah, which is considered already as if it's executed and given over. Ela al yedet ketiva. The kinyan kevari. He wants to rely on the shtar that from when he's alive and to use a regular kinyan. The stam kinyan nechtiva omed. The stam kinyan is written. The shtar shchiv merah eno kone mehayim. Now there's a difference between a shchiv merah's shtar and a shtar of a kinyan. The shchiv merah kinyan doesn't work until after he dies. Mm-hmm. After he dies, the shtar is now considered as if it was given over, and therefore the matana is executed. Share en tato liten klum ela laharmita, which is that's the pshat of the shchiv merah. He wants the transaction to take place after he dies. That's the chidush that the shchiv merah kinyan can take place after death. Ve'afilu Rabbi Yosei damar zmanosh l'star mochi alav hani mili bebari yakotem nekasav lebno le'achar moto de da'ato le'achnu yeguf akarka me'ayom uperot le'acharmita. Normally, when a person, let's say, wants to give over his property to his son, he writes a shtar, so that we explain really is given over mehayim. Because on the shtar, the date of the shtar is when he's still alive. So therefore you could assume that he wanted the actual principle to go over to his children. The case of a shchiv merah, he doesn't want to give over anything when he's still alive. The way the mechanics of a shchiv merah matana works, he wants everything to be transferred only dafka after he dies. Ve'chevan demit. Now, once he dies already, he cannot be makne anything. There's nothing, he's not there to be makne. So therefore, the question is, like, if he wants to start to work, but he's using the shchiv merah mentality, that he doesn't want it to happen until after it's dead, so therefore, we don't know what to judge in this case, because it's the shchiv merah that he wants to happen after death. After the, what does he want to work after death? The kinyan. Nishtar. Nishtar cannot work after death. Whatever Shmuel says, I don't know how to judge this case. I don't know what the guy means. Maybe the guy means that he wants the Shchiv Merah Kinyan, which happens after death. He wants to invoke his regular Kinyan after death. You can't do that. Now, what's the point? But what did you learn from Rav over here in this statement? Batar umdina azil. You see, does follow what do we say the guy's thinking? He follows that principle called umdina. That what she omed da'to shel ze le'arkebe atre rechshe avad. Right, that he said this in order to ride on two horses. Ve'afapish lo piresh. Even though he didn't specifically say that. Meaning Rav is going to take Mamon away from somebody and give it to somebody else based on this umdina, based on the way Rav interprets what this guy's thinking. Oh, if this is the case, we've got to go back. We're a machlokin in our Mishnah. Tanakama said that Tosefet Ketubah is given even after she gets divorced from an Arusa. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Be'elazah ben Azariah said Tosefet Ketubah is only given after the divorce is from the Nisu'in. And he gave his logic, because you could assume, you can make an umdina that the guy didn't commit to the Tosefet Ketubah until there's a consummation of the marriage. Now the Gemara said that this is similarly a ma'loket. The Tanakama and the Be'elazah ben Azariah is the same between Rav and Rabbi Natan. So the Gemara assumed that it was Rabbi Natan that holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because we see in another place Rabbi Natan subscribes to the concept of umdina. Where did we see Rabbi Natan subscribe to umdina? Where the case is a guy tells his Arishchi Mirah, and he tells his Edim, write a shtar for my wife. But he never said to give it. But Rabbi Natan says, you're making umdina, and you could assume that he meant to give it, even though he didn't say to give it. So just like Rabbi Natan holds umdina, he must hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because it says that one of the two rabbis holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So we're trying to figure out which one. So he said it must be Rabbi Natan, just like he holds of Umdana in a different case, must hold of the Umdana of Amishnah. What's the Umdana of Amishnah? You could assume that the husband doesn't want to give the Tosefet until the Suin. So the Gemara said, what? And Rav doesn't hold of Umdana. We see Rav clearly holds of Umdana. Where do you see Rav holds of Umdana? In this case, where a guy writes in the Shishkimera, he has a star and he made a Kenyan as well. So Rav says, you assume that the guy wants to invoke two Kohot. He doesn't want to weaken the his ability. He wants to strengthen it. Also, the Rav also holds of Umdana. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela tarvayu azli batar Umdana. Both Rav and Rabbi Natan, they use this principle of what? Invoking what the person is thinking. Which means you read into the guy's intent. Man de amar halakha Shapir. No. The opinion that says what? That the halakha follows the Bilaza ben Azariah. That what? That you don't get the Tosefet Ketuvah until the Nisu'in Shapir. That already makes sense, because that's using the principle of Umdana, which means that we can understand. Man de amar en halakha. Oh, but the opinion that says, no, she's one of the two, Rav or Rabbi Natan. The opinion that says, we don't go like Rabbi Azab Azah, which sounds like what? We're not going like Umdana. No. Hacha name Umdam Da'atu. It's also working with Umdana. Mishum ikrube Da'tahu. Veha ikraba le Da'ta. She's like this. What's the whole reason why a person writes a Tosefet Ketubah? He writes to Sifat Ketubah because he wants his wife to become close to him, and it's a way to bring them close to each other. A lady normally gets 200 in the Ketubah. All of a sudden, now she's getting an extra, bonus. So what does that do? It causes them to come close. So therefore, if his whole intent in writing the Tosefet is to bring them close, it worked. Which means they're engaged already. He accomplished his purpose. Therefore, that's also an umdina, which is we're reading into the guy's mind. Why did he give the extra money for the Tosefet? In order to make ikrube data, which means they're close. So therefore, according to that opinion, you should give the Ketubah Tosefet even from the time of Irusin, which basically the Gemara is saying, everybody holds of umdina. It's just, what's the umdina over here? Is the umdina that a guy won't commit to the Tosefet till marriage? Oh no, the purpose of the Tosefet is what? To get close. And they got close, which means they're engaged already, and therefore it accomplished. So therefore, really we don't know which one of the two rabbis said what. We just know Rav and Rabbi Natan, one of them said like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because of the rule of umdina, and one of them said like Tanna Kamma, because of the rule of umdina. It's just that they both have a different umdina, what the guy is thinking. Now the Gemara says, Yativ Rav Halina Kamed Rabbi Yanai, the Ka'amar Halakha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rav Hanina, actually the Bach calls him Rav Hanina Kira. That's Rav Hanina, the teacher of Mikra. He used to teach Mikra. So it says, Rav Hanina Kira sat in front of Rabbi Yanai, and he said, Alakha faz Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amar le. So what did Rabbi Yanai tell him? Puk kare kiracha libara. Just go out and take your pisukim and read them outside. Which means,
didn't agree.
He didn't agree with him. Exactly. We don't go like that. In halakha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We don't go like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbenu. Rabbenu, I guess, is Rabbenu is Rav. Okay. Top line. Mishum Rabbenu is Rav. Halakha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shemuel. Halakha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Rav Nachman dide Amar, but Rav Nachman himself said, "En halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah." V'ne'ar de'e mishmed Rav Nachman. The rabbis of Ne'ar de'a in the name of Rav Nachman Amri halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So it's back and forth. Who is following this halacha? V'afalgav delat Rav Nachman. Now, even though Rav Nachman literally lat is like he cursed. Ve'amar, and he said, "Kol dayana de da'in k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah hache v'hache teve." Even though Rav Nachman put a curse and said, "Any judge that's going to rule like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and give the lady Tosefet Ketubah only from the Nisu'in should be cursed, such and such curse should come to him, even though he gave such a curse on the Dayanim. We still follow like Rabbi Elazar that what? The money only comes to after the Nisu'in. And bottom line, that the Umdan Da'at is Dafka after the Nisu'in. That's what she collects, the Ketubah as well as the Tosefet Ketubah. Amen.